Hello, I'm John Ellis. Welcome to episode 73 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors. And not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney. Dave McDermott is back in training with the first team squad and hopefully returning to action, possibly from the bench next week. So here we are recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, March 14th, 2023, with no first team game to look back on because we had a weekend off thanks to taking an entire night off earlier in the Scottish Cup campaign. But we do have a match to look forward to against Hearts at Pittodrie this coming weekend. I think we're probably agreed things took a good sight brighter than they did in the wake of Jim Goodwin's departure. So where do you think realistically Aberdeen's aspirations for the remainder of the season lie at this stage, Andrew? Fourth, third, where?
Definitely fourth and possibly third, because there seems to be a real determination about the squad once again, as we've seen, winning three out of the last four games, showing fighting qualities that they haven't done for a while. And Hearts, you're looking at them. Yes, I know it was two games against Celtic, but how big a dent to their confidence have these two defeats been? I think Robbie Nielsen had put a lot into Hearts maybe winning the Scottish Cup this season, but that was blown out of the water very quickly by Celtic at Tynecastle on Saturday. So it'll be an interesting one to see what the Hearts' confidence is like. But, you know, Hearts don't have a good record at Pittodrie. In fact, I was delving back into the stats, as one does, when trying to find something new to talk about. And I discovered that between the 2nd of December 1950 and the 7th of April 1956, Aberdeen won six successive home league games against Hearts. Now, between April 2018 and today, they've won six successive home league wins against Hearts. So they're going to create a wee bit of club history on Saturday. Not that it will count at all towards the thoughts of any of the players nowadays, but it just does show that for all the relative success that Hearts have had in recent times, they do not travel well to Pittodrie. So, you know, there's a lot to be hopeful about this coming weekend. But in terms of third and fourth, if you've got any ambitions in third, you have to win the game. Simple as that, the gap on Hearts. But to get up to fourth, maybe a draw would be all right. But I don't think Aberdeen will be even thinking about drawing the game. They're looking to maintain this little run that they've got themselves into and try and show people that, yes, that post-World Cup split to Jim Goodwin's sacking was a blip rather than being a sign of this is a team that is absolutely crumbling. So a lot to play for on Saturday.
The arguments to be made in Aberdeen's favour, I suppose, that we should be fresher going into this one, given Hearts battering in both the league and then the cup to Celtic in their last couple of games. Will that have dented their confidence any, or does just about every team write off matches against Celtic as different from the rest?
There's an element of that, yes, because Celtic are just an unrelenting machine that just eventually overpowers you. But, you know, Hearts got themselves off to a good start down at Celtic Park. They scored first. They had chances. And it wasn't arguably their strongest 11 that they played in that league game. And I think that indicated to me, at least, that Robbie Nielsen was putting more store in the cup tie and hoping that home advantage might just turn things around and give them something that they could build on against Celtic. But Celtic, out of the blocks so quickly on Saturday, scoring in the opening couple of minutes, getting another one before half-time, and then just sealing the deal towards the end of the game. And I think Hearts' confidence shouldn't be altogether dented, but they don't have a great record on the road. And as I've highlighted before, particularly not at Pittodrie, but you've seen them that they've lost at Motherwell. They've struggled away from home in quite a lot of games. And I think, you know, the Dons have got a great chance on Saturday. Hearts will be difficult. I don't know who the referee is going to be for this one yet. That appointment hasn't been made public, but I hope whoever it is isn't taken in by the cynical ploy that Hearts often use, where they take it in turns to go and commit fouls, to break up play, to, you know, rile the opposition. But referees are going, oh, but it's his first foul, I better not do anything.
Tag team fouling, yeah.
Well, it's a bit like basketball, isn't it? I mean, yeah. if you've got so many team fouls, next guy that commits a foul, you're off. And that's the way it should be with football as well. Particularly, I'm maybe being overly cynical, but I have seen a lot of Hearts and a lot of Hearts at Pittodrie.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time. But I think we should dwell on the positives. As you say, Aberdeen will be fresh, albeit they probably haven't been able to train as much in quality training conditions because of the weather just recently. And you've seen signs in every game that there's an improvement and there's more of Barry Robson's patterns of play coming into play. And I'm quite confident going into this game on Saturday.
You've got a Don team which has won three of its last four, including one away, albeit against a struggling Dundee United at Tannadice. But a bit of continuity within that starting lineup. Is there any specific worry about Hearts which might force to change that starting lineup, Andrew, or anything about, you know, fringe players? Last week I mentioned Marley Watkins, that you might bring in at the expense of anybody else.
No, I think it's the old adage, if it ain't broke, why mend it? I think that's the way Barry will go. If the same players are fit, then I'm sure he will start with them. Marley Watkins did exceptionally well down at Tannadice, came off the bench, made an immediate impact. But I think Barry sees Marley as being an impact substitute or someone who can hold on to the ball and take pressure off when you're trying to manage a game towards its conclusion. I think, providing everybody's fit, and I haven't heard anything to suggest that there's any injury problems or illness problems or anything like that, I think he'll go with the tried and tested. As far as Hearts are concerned, well, Lauren Shanklin's missed the last couple of games. Now, he would definitely have played in that cup tie if there was any chance of him playing. So you do wonder, how fit is he going to be? He won't have played in the last two games, so there's an element of lack of match fitness. He will be fit if he starts, but is there the match sharpness there? It will be a big challenge for Angus McDonald and Matty Pollock trying to look after him. You've got to cater for the pace of Josh Ginnelly, who's in a decent run of goal-scoring form at the moment. But at the back, I thought Hearts looked a bitty...
Suspect?
Suspect, I think, is probably the word. I was going to say, you wouldn't say that they're altogether shaky, but there's errors crept in there that you wouldn't have expected when they were playing against Celtic, particularly on Saturday. And I think we've got to concentrate on our strengths and not worry about what Hearts are going to do to us. It's what we're going to do to Hearts that is going to be the pivotal thing in the game. That's what will win or lose Aberdeen the game.
We said in the course of recording last week's show that if Barry made it in the hot seat to the Hearts game and prevailed, the argument for keeping on as manager, maybe even in a caretaker capacity at the end of the season, probably increases exponentially. At the same time, Alan Burrow's leading the team to select the next manager, drawing up a shortlist, we're told. That's not to say Barry's not on it, but what's your intuition telling you about the role a week on from the last show, Andrew?
Intuition. Not something that I've been accused of all too often down the years. Uneducated guessing, yes, but intuition, I'm not sure. I think, look at what Barry has done. He's done nothing wrong. And he's got the team fighting for each other. He says that he looks into their eyes and he sees a team that is ready to go to war. That's what people want to hear, because for far too long, particularly in that period from the end of the World Cup through to Jim Goodwin losing his job, Aberdeen were a soft touch. There was no getting away from it. Okay, one away win in 5 months doesn't mean that you've turned things around, but it did show a fighting spirit, because as we said last week, when Dundee United equalised, you just thought, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it went the other way, and went the other way big style for Aberdeen. And that was a giant step forward, not only in terms of performance, but in terms of building morale, building confidence, building belief in the squad. So I think Barry has done so many good things. He must be high up in the board's thinking of who the next manager is going to be. And if it comes down to a financial decision, well, he's in the door at the moment, so it's not going to cost you anything. You've just got to weigh that up against, does he have sufficient experience? But he's got a mightily experienced sidekick in Steve Agnew there. And also, as I say, the proof of the pudding is in what he's doing. Barry has had he's a very deep thinker in the game. If you sit down and talk football with Barry Robson, A, you'll be there for a couple of hours probably, but B, you will learn a hell of a lot about the game because he knows it inside out. He's been there, he's done everything. He's got the T-shirts, he's got the red cards, he's got the plaudits. He's done a lot of work in looking at template that should be the one that is followed by everybody in Aberdeen, from first team right down to under nines. A bit like Ajax do in Holland. Mm-hmm. They always said about Ajax, you know, that it didn't matter if somebody stepped out of the team, you had somebody who could come in and knew exactly what they were doing because that's how they'd been taught from a very, very early age. That's what Barry wants at Aberdeen. And you look down the age groups, there's a lot of success there. And now we're seeing a bit of success, albeit very short-term success for the first team under Barry Robson. So I have a strong suspicion that he will be well up on that shortlist. And I for one would love to see Barry get the job because there's no one more dedicated and, as I say, passionate about the game, knowledgeable about the game, and most importantly, able to get his message across to players.
Absolutely. I would like to see him retained in a management capacity as well, but like they do in American football, occasionally have him to come on as a kicker so that he can take free kicks.
Oh, no, for goodness sake, no, because Basil come on and kick the opposition.
and also take it down to the corner flag. I mean, you talk about Marley Watkins doing it. If he's been taught by Barry how to run down the clock, nobody did it better than Barry Robson did at that corner flag. Listen, we'll know in the fullness of time, I guess. One thing you would say is if you're going to get in a completely new face, you'd want them in sooner rather than later so they can start working and establish signing targets and the like. The longer that goes on, it's potentially more damaging. Let's do a score predictor for Aberdeen versus Hearts, Andrew. Do you remember what you said this time last week? I think it was 3-1, wasn't it?
I did say 3-1. I think I'll stick with that. Hearts have got attacking potential, so we'll give them one. It'll probably be a penalty because the last couple of times that we've won 3-1, it's been penalties that have been scored against Aberdeen.
I hate to say this, but we haven't had VAR deciding anything in a couple of games, at least. It's probably due a punt. Can't wait to welcome Dave back soon. We've missed the 8-0 forecast. Let's move on to the under-18s next, Andrew. Top of the league as they visited Rangers. And was it Alfie Babbage who'd been told while he was away on Scotland duty, when we play yous next, we'll pull in all the ringers to get the results. So Rangers versus Aberdeen under-18s, how did it go? And how did Alan McGregor get to start and go for them?
Well, he's a multiple of under-18, I think. I think it's heading towards 3 now, the multiple higher. Brilliant win for Aberdeen, 3-2. They were 2-0 up early doors through Finlay Marshall and Adam Emsley. Rangers, to their credit, fought back, got themselves level at the interval. But then in the second half, Aberdeen were the better side and got a deserved winner through, guess who? Yep, Alfie Babbage with his 30th league goal of the season. And that, just for a short period of time, put Aberdeen 5 points clear at the top of Celtic on the same number of games played. Celtic later played and won their game. The Young Dons are 2 points clear at the top of the table with a game in hand over Celtic. But again, that's another big feather in the cap for the 18s, going down to Rangers and beating them there and beating them deservedly. So big, big win for the boys. And we're talking about building confidence and team spirit and all the rest at first team level. It's there in abundance at under 18 level. And that was another big feather in their cap. You know, it taken them a number of games to get the better of Celtic. They beat them, which was brilliant. And we've been down to the Rangers training ground at Auchenhowie on a couple of occasions, well, a few more than a couple, but we've played really well, but come away with nothing to show for our efforts. This time we've won the game, and that is such a morale booster for everybody. So, yeah, the Stuart Duff, Robbie Hederman coaching team are doing a brilliant job, but I messaged Robbie to say congratulations and great win for the boys, and he says, yeah, but you've got to give a huge credit to Barry and Scott Anderson and to Kevin Simon, the fitness coach. And he said, they've got them so fit, so well-disciplined. They're just keeping things ticking over. They're not, you know, rewriting the songbook in any way, shape or form. They're just singing to the exactly the same hymn tune. That
are you going to score another three? Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's basically it. You know, if they score, just score twice as many as them, or three times as many. But young, 30 goals already in the league season. And we've still got, I can't remember how many games, 10 games to go, something like, there's probably more than that, going really well and in pole position.
Okay, all right. Do we know what their next game is at this point in time?
We do. It is a home game against Hibs at Cormac Park, 6:30 p.m. kickoff on Friday, weather permitting, obviously. Again, this will be a big test for them. Although they beat Hibs 4-0, I think, up here earlier on in the season. They lost 6-2 down at their place the last time the two sides met. They're very, very good at Cormac Park, Aberdeen, but they will have to be at their best to turn over Hibs, because Hibs are a decent side as well. Although their results haven't shown it this season, they're dangerous opposition. So it's not glancing away for into the future. It's just full focus on the game in hand on Friday night, and looking forward to that one.
Yeah, play the 11 in front of you and all that. Here's an interesting thing, Andrew, for a start. I would like you to go away between now and next week and come back and tell me how many times the scoreline 6-2 has appeared in Aberdeen under-18's league season, because I'm thinking, was there not twice against Hamilton? 6-2 you talked about there against Hibs?
There's a 6-2 and 6-0. A 5-2 and a 5-0. That's been the Hamilton scores. But yeah, as I said last week, I think, you know, there have been 100 goals scored in something like 18 or 19 games. Mm. As we said, that's entertainment. And that's Absolutely. What they're about. I don't think it'll be 6-2 this week, but if it is, it'll be for the Dons, not for Hibs.
Aberdeen women pulled out a couple of surprising results themselves last week. First, a draw with Hibs, then more disappointingly, a 4-3 loss to Partick, having been in the lead. This weekend, they were back home to face Motherwell at Cormac Park on Sunday afternoon. That one finished 3-1 to the visitors. And again, frustrating, Andrew, after holding the lead once more.
It's becoming a little bit of a recurring theme, isn't it? It would have been disappointing. They got themselves a goal ahead, but then I think Motherwell equalised within a couple of minutes and then just proved too strong in the second half. And that was a game that I think Aberdeen probably had designs on winning, because Motherwell weren't too far ahead of them in the SWPL table. But another defeat. But now, of course, it's into the post-split fixtures. Yeah. And, you know, the coaching squad team and the team themselves will be looking and saying, right, come on, we've got to start winning games. That's the be-all and end-all now. Make sure that we're going to stay in this league. So we're up against sides in and around us in the league table. We're not going to be playing the big guns over the next period of games. I think it's 10 games they've got post-split. There's more winnable games now than there were in the first part of the season. You can only talk about winnable games when you're winning games. That's the thing they've got to do now.
They were tense going into last weekend, just ahead of Hamilton, which is a bit of a recurring theme in the show, just ahead of Hamilton, as you'll find out when we get to Cove in a moment. It's been a shaky first season back in the top flight, but you just hope they've got enough to keep their place there to go again next campaign. Are you still confident that they'll retain that top flight status, Andrew?
Yes, I think they've got enough there in the squad. There's a lot of good players. There's been a lot of chopping and changing in terms of personnel. Injuries haven't helped, but there's enough quality in the squad that they'll get at sufficient points post-split to keep their top flight status, and then hopefully build on that and kick on next season.
That campaign continues Sunday, March 26, away to Glasgow Women as the post-split fixtures commence. Cove Rangers next. They're in that fight towards the bottom of the Championship, and as they entered the weekend, they were on 26 points. Hamilton, 25. Arbroath, 24. All very tight, and not helped either by the weather. That tip of snow threatening to derail their training this past week. Thankfully, a group effort involving staff and fans managed to get half the pitch clear to train midweek ahead of a trip to meet Queen's Park on Friday evening. That one ended 1-0. to the home side. So those points, as they were, but both Hamilton and Arbroath with a game in hand now. Cove's next match away to Raith Rovers this Saturday. Again, still confident that they've got enough in the tank, Andrew?
At the risk of repeating myself, it's the same answer for the ladies as it is for Cove Rangers. You've got to start winning games. Raith Rovers, I watched them play against Rangers in the Scottish Cup on Sunday, just to see, you know, what Raith were all about, see if they'd improved from having seen them play against the Dons early in the season in the League Cup. So I think, again, you know, Cove, they're struggling to find a settled 11. Continuity of selection is such an important thing in football now, because then you've got 11 guys who all know what each other are doing. Whereas if you're constantly chopping and changing, you're looking across and, who's that boy again? What does he do? I think Paul Hartley will be looking to try and get as settled a side as he possibly can, playing as often together as they can over the next few weeks. But away to Raith Rovers, always a difficult place to go. But again, Cove have got to start winning games. It's putting 3 points on the board that's so important. I think Arbroath play Morton on Friday night. Cove could conceivably find themselves in the relegation zone ahead of their game on Saturday, but they've put total focus on that game at Stars Park. And if they put all the component parts of the jigsaw together properly, they've got enough there to beat Raith Rovers. But Raith have got one or two decent players. Ethan Ross, formerly of Aberdeen, of course, back fit once again. He could be an important player for Raith. Lewis Vaughan, another one. It'll be a tight one. And in all honesty, I think Paul Hartley, if you offered him a draw just now, he'd probably take it.
Absolutely. Peterhead next, again, in a similar position to Cove, battling for survival in their division, thankfully not above Hamilton. They only have one other team in their sights, though, and that's Clyde. At best, Peterhead can hope to have the opportunity to be responsible for their own fate in an end-of-season playoff. Saturday, they were due to be at home to top-of-the-table Dunfermline Athletic and probably not expecting much, which is exactly what they got, although not the way they imagined, with the game not beating the conditions. Meanwhile, in the battle with Clyde, not the worst news, but not great, as they gained a point away to Queen of the South. It could have been worse, Andrew, but that trap door is flapping now, isn't it?
It certainly is. And they, you know, that was a huge point for Clyde, because now it means that Clyde can afford to lose to Peterhead, and providing they match all Peterhead's other results, they will go into the playoff position. So Peterhead have got to pick up more points than Clyde in a game other than when the two of them play against each other, because the goal difference is so vastly superior in Clyde's favour over the Balmoor side. But, you know, where there's life, there's hope, and they've just got to keep trying the best they can. And one result could just turn things around for them, but time's running out, and as you say, that trapdoor is looming ever wider.
So the focus shifts on down the line to next Saturday, both teams with away matches. Peterhead at Airdrie, Clyde go to Alloa Athletic. On to the Highland League now.
Just before we go on to the Highland League, John, I must say congratulations to Falkirk, who flew the League One flag against Ayr United in the Scottish Cup. Richly deserved to get through. Played some great football as well. And Colin Henry, there must be something in the water up in that Huntly Keith area, because if you remember Charlie Mann, who I used to work with at North Sound,
yes,
he went on to become the sponsorship manager for Tennent's, who at the time were the sponsors of the Scottish Cup. So Charlie was involved in a couple of Scottish Cup draws and famously drew Celtic against Rangers on two occasions in consecutive years. And I think immediately was then banned from doing Scottish Cup draws. Big Braveheart appears there last night. The big guy comes from Keith, of course, originally, draws out number four, Rangers versus, now you've got three balls, one hot, two cold. No, I'm being cynical again. But he pulls out number one, Celtic. And I just thought, Colin, you have just received a lifetime ban from the SFA from ever doing a Scottish Cup again. But hey, it's going to be brilliant. Inverness Cali Thistle against Falkirk in one semi-final. Now, I saw Hugh Keevans writing something about it's got to be a Rangers-Celtic final. They've got to be kept apart in the semi-finals. Otherwise, no showpiece at the end of the season. Absolute nonsense. if Falkirk or Inverness get to the final, they will find fans coming out of the woodwork who haven't been to the Falkirk Stadium or to Inverness Cali for many, many years, but they'll appear at Hampden to cheer the team on. And it will, hey, the semi-final will be an absolute humdinger, because both teams will go at it hammer and tongs in the knowledge that, hey, we can be back here at the start of June to play in the cup final. What more incentive does any football player need than that? And particularly when you're playing League One or Championship League football. Fantastic performance from Falkirk. Well done to them. Also to Inverness Cali, beating Kilmarnock on Friday night, and Celtic Rangers, other semi-final. It was expected that they would both get through, but now, fine, you've got a semi-final, but it saves having the rest of the country looking in and going, are we really interested in the Scottish Cup final? Just leave them to get on with it.
On to that Highland League now, with results from Saturday's reduced round of matches, thanks to weather ending like this. Banksiddy 1, Bucky Thistle 3. Forest Mechanics 1, for Martin United 1. Lossiemouth 2, Tanniff United 2. And Nairn County 2, Huntly 0. All that means the table is now like this. Bucky Jags on top, extending their lead to 5 points over Brechin, who played a couple of games fewer. For Martin in third, a further 7 points back. In the juniors, Andrew.
Well, as you said, the weather played havoc with the junior card. There was one Premiership game, and that finished Nairn St Ninian 3, Montrose Roseleigh 4, so a goal feast up there. Sadly, not the case at Forest in the Championship, where it ended up Thistle 0, Buckenhaven Hearts 0. On to this week's junior fixtures. Tonight, Quest Engineering Cup quarter-final. It's scheduled to go ahead, but, oh, well, the snow has stopped falling. It was been, to use a meteorological term, it was dinging down with snow about 10 minutes ago here. It was turning white, and I thought, this Hermes-Glentanner game might be under threat, but providing that the sun does its stuff and gets rid of the snow, that is scheduled for tonight. Then on Saturday, in the Premier League, it's top v bottom when Cooter play Bankery St Ternan, and it's second v third when Hermes meet Dice. In the Championship, Banksiddy Juniors play Fraserburgh United, who are top of the Championship. Glentanner are against Rothay Rovers. Now, Rothay Rovers, 14 points behind the leaders, but with 5 games in hand. So if they could win all their 5 games, they could potentially go top of the table. And then the other game that stood out for me was Sunnybank against Isle of Ale, because if Fraserburgh slip up against Banksiddy, Sunnybank could potentially go top of the table. There's an Elginshire Cup first-round tie, Buckenhaven Hearts against Aberdeen University, and then McLemmon Cup quarter-finals, Bridgeton Thistle against East End and Maud against Nairn St Ninian. Now, it's normally Dave who does the juniors, obviously, and we sincerely hope that he's going to be back with us next week to do that. In the interim, if you've been missing Dave's voice, you'll be able to hear it again on Red Rewind, because we've got a new series of short series of podcasts coming out where Dave and I sit down and look back over our many years, has to be said, of following the Dons, working for the Dons, working with the Dons, and we've got the first 4 are in the can. We looked at the best and the worst over the past 30 years. And to be honest, I can't even remember what we said. Some of them you want to obliterate from your memory. The first one comes out tomorrow. So usual places, same place that you go to for Pataudry PS, go to and you'll find Red Rewind. And we'll keep you posted on social media as to what we're going to be blethering about. Talked about the managers. There's been so many of them that we've worked with that we had to do 2 different shows about the managers. It's been good fun, a bit cathartic at times, looking back and some of the things that we've witnessed and some of the stories from things that happened in behind the scenes and such like that, that maybe folk didn't know about, and hopefully you enjoy them. If
can
you
I,
don't,
can I, well, can I ask it? Can I ask a question?
It's John Mellis who was on, not us.
can I ask a quick question? Do we finally find out how Steve Patterson exited Pataudry?
Oh yes. The full story is there.
Oh good, I'm glad. That's a good story. When I say how he exited, I mean how he managed to just sort of evaporate. But that is pretty much it for episode 73 of Pittodrie PS. Just briefly on Red Rewind again, the first episode that you were talking about there, is it the worst or the best?
I think it's a bit of both. I can't remember. See, I actually had to take my iPad with me and be flicking over, you know, looking at the AFC Heritage Trust website, because when was that again? Oh, hold on. Oh, was it as far back as that? Or was it as recently as that that we were so bad or so good? Or
to be fair, a lot of it with PTSD, Andrew. You'll try to obliterate it from your own memory.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We aim to publish this show every week on a Tuesday if we can, always looking back to the Don's previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show as well. We'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.